We are getting closer. Every week, closer. The leaders, several chapters back, had a conversation that made clear that the goal was for Jesus to die. The high priest says, "It is better for one man to die for the whole people than to have the whole nation destroyed." But so far, their numbered attempts have failed. So now, they need Pilate to do their dirty work for them. So after Jesus is questioned by the high priest, Caiaphas, he is taken to the headquarters of Pilate. Now, we heard only the first half of this section, this scene called the trial of Jesus. The rest of it we will hear next week. Historically, not much is known about Pilate, just that he was an ancient administrative official for the province of Judea. He held that position from 26 to 36 CE, when he lost it, poor guy, for failing to keep the peace. Seems to me it was probably a tough time to keep the peace. But even though not much is known about him, because he was the one in power when Jesus was crucified, he has become this immortal figure, recalled every time any Christian community recites the creed with the words, "He suffered under Pontius Pilate." So here this guy is, trying to get a sense of what's really going on. Is Jesus really a king? Is he dangerous? So Pilate asks Jesus questions. And as you probably have come to expect now from John's version of Jesus, he cannot give a straight answer, even now when his life really does depend on it. Brooklyn and I are going to reread that dialogue for you without the "he said" and "he replied," because I think it helps us to hear it again.
"Are you the king of the Jews?
Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?"
"I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?"
"My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here."
"So you are a king?"
"You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
"What is truth?"
And silence. Jesus never responds to that question. But did you notice that it kind of seems like Jesus and Pilate are having two different conversations? And then it ends, just hanging there, with Pilate's question, "What is truth?" Three little words, and really a huge question. What is truth? Well, I suppose it depends on who you ask. For some, truth is climate change. For others, it is not. For some, truth is fiscal responsibility, while for others, truth is taxation and social programs. For some, truth is liberating, while for others, the truth exists only in darkness. A very quick search provided me with lists and lists of quotes all about truth. proving that really just about everyone is asking the same question as Pilate. What is truth? But in this conversation with Jesus, where it's just left hanging there so uncomfortably, there really is only one answer. The one that Jesus doesn't give here, but has already given earlier in the gospel text. What is truth? Well, Jesus would say, quite plainly, I am. And then he goes further. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. And as I contemplated that this week, I saw in a new way how those three are intertwined with each other. Jesus is the way, the path to God, the path that leads to righteousness and redemption, the way that leads to grace and forgiveness. Jesus is the way, the road, the means forward and upward. Jesus is the path we sometimes skip off of for a minute or 10. Jesus is the truth. And this truth, I think, has no variation. It is capital T truth. And the truth is love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Out of love, God sends Jesus to show us love, to give us love, to be love in the world. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is love. And Jesus is the life, abundant life. Not easygoing or simple or perfect, but abundant. Life filled with the messiness of loving others. Filled with blessedness and servanthood, forgiveness and grace. Abundant life is sometimes hard, but it's always beautiful. And these three, they're connected to each other and then lead back to each other. To follow the way is to know the truth and to live the life. To know the truth is to be compelled toward the way and to live the life. And to live the life is to exemplify the truth and to follow the way. And together they weave themselves into one another like a Celtic knot, where you can't find the beginning and there's no end. Now, I know from great personal experience that it is difficult to stay true to the way and the truth and the life every moment of our lives. Indeed, we spend the season of Lent confessing that very fact. We wander off the path. We get lost. We get tripped up. Or we see something ahead that we'd really rather avoid. We stray. And sometimes we forget that the truth is love. We get snagged by the image of truth being something that masquerades as equality or justice, or we think that our own version of the truth is the capital T truth. Or we put judgment before love, and we end up hijacked. And the life, well, it is so easy to want comfortable life instead of abundant life. to want to never get our hands dirty, to not go outside of our comfort zone, which is exactly where the way will always lead us, or to have security, when abundant life is never measured by security or comfort. But we keep seeking them anyway. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is worth it every time to try to find our way back. Every step we take that leads us back to the way, every act we complete that stands in line with the truth in love, every time our life reflects service, we experience Christ more fully in our hearts. And my experience with this is that the more I feel Christ in my heart, the more I want to do whatever is required to make that feeling grow, to feel it more and more often. And then I find myself being able to believe just a bit more that I maybe really am a part of that otherworldly kingdom that Jesus was talking about. I think that the gospel writer left Pilate's question hanging for a reason. I think it's because if we want to know the answer to what is truth, then we need look no further than John's story. The answer to the question begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." And it ends with, "This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true." The first and ending verses of the Gospel of John. The truth is Christ. Christ who comes to us in human form to know us, to relate to us, and to love us. The truth is Christ who heals and restores and forgives. The truth is Christ who comes to us in wine and bread, feeding our hunger and filling up our hearts. And the truth does, so it turns out, really set us free. So may we use our freedom to share the capital T truth with the world. Amen.